Let's pray, and then we have a lot of ground to cover, as usual. This will be our last Leviticus session. I've wiped 3 off the map, so I decided we're not going to spend a whole session talking about the Sabbath years, even though we've talked about it before, and it'll come up again, but... All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you again for your word, and we pray, Lord, that you would help us to learn of your word and to know you more because of it. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. This is Leviticus 26. There are 27 chapters in Leviticus. We will not cover the last chapter either. This is kind of like the last one, and then there's like almost like an appendix. You know, little odds and ends stuff, how to redeem things that normally would have to be sacrificed and things like that in chapter 27. But this is kind of like the last formal statement in Leviticus. So that's what we're going to cover here. Next week, we're going to do a review. And then we will not have Sunday school, at least for several weeks. Okay. Verses 1 and 2. I call it this way: God reminds Israel of 3 commands. He says, "You shall not make idols for yourselves, neither a carved image nor a sacred pillar shall you rear up for yourselves, nor shall you set up an engraved stone in your land to bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord." Letter A is no carved image. I summarized all of that just to say that. He says it in several different ways. Keep my Sabbaths. There are several different kinds of Sabbaths. There's the weekly Sabbath, but there's also the every 7 years the land has to sit and rest for a year. That's chapter 25, again, that we didn't cover. And there's also the year of Jubilee every 50th year. And also he says, reverence my sanctuary. That would involve doing all of the sacrifices and all of that's involved with that. It isn't just walking around and bowing toward the sanctuary. It's doing what the sanctuary is intended to do, the temple. Okay? What you need? You're okay? Oh, hard to see it, yeah. Okay. Okay, the next one, number 2, and this all ties together, okay? And this is worth spending some time in, but what God promises Israel for obedience. Okay? And there's a lot here. I kind of ignore stuff as we go, but he says this, verse 3 says, if, and notice I bold and then I put a box around the ifs and the thens, because you see that all the way through this whole chapter. If you do this, then this will happen, okay? If you walk in my statutes, you do what I tell you to do, and keep my commandments and perform them. So walk and keep made it easy for you there. Then he has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 things here. Okay, I'll see if I can fit them all on this line. He says here, then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall last till the time of vintage, and the vintage shall last until the time of sowing. So you're constantly, your food lasts until the next harvest rolls around. Your harvest to your grape harvest to your crop harvest. You shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. So I call this one agricultural production. God will bless their in their agricultural production. They'll constantly have enough. Okay? He'll give them the right amount of rain. They'll have what they need to grow their crops, and they will eat and be satisfied. They'll always have enough. Everything will last till the next season. Verse 6, I will give peace in the land. And again, this is what will happen to Israel if they obey. Now, liken it to here. I know we're not Israel in the United States of America, but it's interesting that I think God is the same God, and at least some of this correlates. Okay? Because God does similar things to different nations, as you see. I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none will make you afraid. I will rid the land of evil beasts, and the sword will not go through your land. So I call this universal peace and safety. Nothing will make you afraid. You don't even have to worry about wild beasts or conquest. Or even, the sword could even be internal violence. Did you know in the Des Moines area, there's been like 10 murders in the last 3 months. Maybe in the last 30 days. We've doubled the amount of murders in the last. It's just every day, and you're like, wow, I think we had 10, and now we have 20. Okay, that's what it's about. The violence is there, the sword going through the land, things like that. Here's verses 7 and 8. You will chase your enemies, and they shall fall by the sword before you. 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. That's quite an amazing ratio, that 5 of you can chase 100 of your enemies. So we're not talking about, we don't have to have 105 when the enemy has 100. We can have 5 when they have 100, because God will give us victory over our enemies. 100 of you shall put to flight 10,000, and your enemies shall fall by the sword before you. So military power. Okay, and I honestly believe that as nations depart from God, he lets people run roughshod over them. Okay? And I just liken it to the United States. We grow weaker because we've rejected God. Okay? Verse 9, for I will look on you favorably and make you fruitful, multiply you, and confirm my covenant with you. So I call this fruitful reproduction. God says that having lots of kids is a good thing, and that's a blessing of God. I will make you fruitful and allow you to multiply. That is an evidence of God's blessing. The opposite would be the curse of God, of course. And he says that going down. Letter E. You shall eat the old harvest and clear out the old because of the new. It's like, you know what? We have to clear out the barn because the new stuff's coming in. Life is good, right? When you have to get rid of the old food because the new food's coming in. So I call it ample provision. That's not bad at all. That's not a bad situation. That you're not eating the food fast enough. You know, you have more food than you need, and so by the time the next harvest comes, you still have plenty in the barn that you have to clear out because now you got to put the new stuff in there. Okay. Verses 11 and 12, I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. So I call this God's presence. You might want to think of it as a special presence because eventually Israel ignored all of this and the glory of God departed from Israel, the Bible says. Right? So even though they had a building, there was nobody in it. All right? So they have the special presence of God. Everybody see that? We're getting down to the bottom here. The last one here, and I was going to make it a separate point, but I said, no, let's just leave it as it is. Verse 13, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt that you should not be their slaves. I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you walk upright. Okay? So I put down here, it's an ongoing cooperation with God's purpose. Okay? I broke you so you wouldn't be their slaves. I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you walk upright. That goes in line. It reminds me of the New Testament where God saves us so that we would, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. And God has saved us to make us a people zealous for good works, right? Kind of ties in with that. All right, number three here. Now, what I want you to see here, and tell me if this reminds you of another place in the Bible, but he has levels of punishment. He punishes them if they disobey, and that's what I call it here, what God warns Israel for disobedience. There's a level one, level two, level three, level four, level five. This is what will happen at each level, and if you don't, he doesn't use the term repent, but if you don't turn back, it'll get worse, and it'll get worse, and it'll get worse. Five levels. Where in the Bible does it talk about levels of abandonment by God? Anyone? Romans 1, right? He turns them over. Three times in Romans 1, he turns them over to their own desires. He turns them over to their base minds. He turns them over, right? It's kind of, that's what it reminded me of. It's, God does this almost like to reclaim us, but if that doesn't work, then he lets it get worse, and lets it get worse, and he lets it get worse, okay? So that's what we see here. Now, there's a lot of them in number three. And then it goes, the different levels aren't as long anyway. But notice here, let me read all of these first. But if you do not obey me and do not observe these commands, and if you despise my statutes, and if your soul abhors my judgments, so that you do not perform all my commandments but break my covenant. So there's six things here. And I'll just call this level one. There's nothing to write on number three here. But letter A, and it just goes down. If you don't obey me, B, if you do not observe these commandments, and these are right out of the text, these words. If you despise my commandments, if your soul abhors my judgments, if you do not perform all my commandments, and if you break my covenant. By the way, God sees what we do, good or bad. Agree? Now, I know as believers we're saved, but it is erroneous to think there are not consequences. And if there's a key word to this lesson, it's the word consequences. There are consequences to our choices. We spent, 10 weeks on the principle of the path. You get what you live for. The consequences are there. And God tells Israel there are consequences for obedience and consequences for disobedience. And by the way, you want the consequences to obedience, so you need to do what? Obey, right? Got it? So notice here now, let me read the next couple verses here. If you do these six things, and he just states them in different ways. Verse 16 says, I also will do this to you. And these are amazing. And they correlate so much to our nation today. I will even appoint terror over you. Did you see that in verse 16? Wasting disease and fever, which shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. I will set my face against you, and you shall be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when no one pursues you. So here's seven quick things here for the then, underneath then here. Appointed terror. Any correlation in the United States of America right now that anyone wants to offer? San Bernardino. Yeah, just over and over. Anyone here have a little bit of concern about terror? Because it's there, and they're talking about bringing in a bunch of refugees, at least some of them. You know, if you follow the Quran, killing is a good thing. Okay, killing the infidel. Letter B, broad sickness. It says wasting away and sickness and fever, or disease and fever. It talks about here even, and cause sorrow of heart. People are depressed. I'd say one of the biggest pharmaceutical businesses is antidepressants. Okay, and then God being against you, that should scare us. God says, I will set my face against you. Against, I just put the word against here, but God against you. And then you will be defeated by your enemies. So I just say defeat by enemies. We don't win necessarily because of how big our military is. We win because we honor God. We will be ruled by those who hate us. Anyone want to be ruled by those that hate us? Do you know that our laws are turning against our favor? Have you noticed that? And how about this even? Letter G here. You shall flee when no one pursues you. Unwarranted fear. People become paranoid. Fear. Unwarranted fear. That sounds like our nation, doesn't it? Okay, that's level one. Level two is extremely short, comparatively speaking. That's number four here. Level two. Okay. I will read all of it and then we'll just fill them out. And after all this, so notice God does this to kind of try to bring them back. After all of this, if you do not obey me, there's your chance. All of this goes bad. What do we need to do? Obey, not disobey further. But if we do not obey, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. Now, he uses this seven times over and over. Now, I don't know if it's a quantity or just an abundance idea. And he says it in different ways too, but he says seven times more for your sins. Seven more rounds of punishment or seven times more quantity, I don't know for sure, but you don't want to experience it nonetheless, right? He says this, I will break the pride of your power. I will make your heavens like iron and your earth like bronze, and your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield its produce, nor shall the trees of the land yield their fruit. So I just put a couple things here that you have to fill in here. The first one, I will break the pride of your power. I think of the United States in this. We are so proud as a country, and probably for the wrong reasons. We're great. Remember, Lafayette said, because we are a righteous nation, we acknowledge what is good and we do that which is good. Well, we have turned our back on what is good, right, as a nation. And so our pride is broken. We think that American exceptionalism is because we are Americans, and so therefore we're exceptional. No, what made us exceptional as Americans is that we honored God. Okay? We're not exceptional because we're exceptional. We were exceptional because, to a large degree, we were driven by the principles of God. And this is true in Israel. He was going to break them of their pride. And by the way, extensive drought. I don't believe that all drought is a punishment for sin. But it is interesting that California has been under drought for a long time. California is not a friend to God in many ways. Okay. Pride and drought. Okay, this is level three now. We're going a little faster. But he basically says, I'll break your pride And maybe it's by the drought or, whatever. But all of a sudden, when you can't eat when you want and things don't work well, all of a sudden life gets very hard very fast. Verse 21 and 22, that's level 3 because level 4 is on the backside. It says here, verses 21 and 22, then if you walk contrary to me, it doesn't say, if you turn back, but that's the implication. If you're not obeying me still, I will bring on you 7 times more plagues. There's that 7 times again. According to your sins, I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children, destroy your livestock, and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. So what's the key thing here? Wild beasts. And we always thought it was our good ecology control measures. Controlled hunting and all of that. I'm not saying God doesn't use means, but he also, it's interesting that you've seen more and more wild animals in places where they never used to be. They used to say there were never any mountain lions in Iowa. I mean, for several years they said, no, there's no mountain lions. No, there's, okay, so we've killed a few. They caught one, was it 4 or 6 blocks away from here? I mean, last year? It's like in downtown Des Moines. The bears, all different things. And I'm not saying it's the same thing, but it's like, it's funny that things encroach back as people back away from God. Okay? So wild beasts is the next level. By the way, notice what it says. They will kill your children. They'll rob you of your children. They'll kill your livestock. They'll kill you. They'll make you few in number. And you won't be able to travel your highways because it'll be dangerous. Okay? Yeah. That will do it too. I think that's the terror part. I think they're covered under other things here. Level 4. There's 5 levels. This is level 4. And I only put some of them in here. Let me read the whole thing and then I'll fill it in. And after all this, if you do not obey, he's just going to keep adding more. And by the way, it gets to the point where it's horrendously awful.
You need to go up a little higher. You started
at 5. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm at the top of the page, aren't I? Verse 23, and if by these things you are not reformed by me, if this isn't enough to make you turn around, but walk contrary to me, then also I will walk contrary to you, and I will punish you yet 7 times for your sins. And I will bring a sword against you that will execute the vengeance of the covenant. When you are gathered together within your cities, I will send pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. When I have cut off your supply of bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in 1 oven, and they shall bring back your bread by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. So this is, I start with letter B, because letter A doesn't have anything to put in. But there's the sword, there's violence against you, and there's growing violence. Okay, even in the United States, but that's what happened to them ultimately. You lose the rule of law and people start doing what they want, killing people as they want. They gather together in their cities. So I call it crowding for protection. So what they do, because of the violence, they crowd into places for protection. Okay, so they kind of get displaced a little bit. And then letter D, it says here, now that you're in the cities, he'll send pestilence. So you flee to the cities to get away from the violence, safety in numbers, and guess what? Then disease breaks out in the group. That's kind of horrible because you get in the city to escape the violence, safety in numbers, and then everyone gets sick in the city. That's horrible, okay? And then notice here, he says, you'll be delivered into the hands of your enemies. Delivered to your enemies, so the enemies will have control over you, whether it's political enemies or geographical enemies that take over your nation or whatever. And then notice here, there's not enough food, okay? So there's drought, and now there's hunger. Inadequate food, and then the resultant hunger. Okay? And that's hard for us to understand that in the United States of America, because most of us eat pretty well. But can you imagine not having enough food? I have a hard time thinking that. You know, because as my kids will say, well, Dad, why don't you go to the store and get some? Right? And when you go to the store and there's nothing in the store, that's happened all over the world. You ever seen pictures of Russian stores? Or I remember when Dr. Kober used to go to East Germany when it was still East Germany, and they would have meat like once a week. And it would just be gone. You know, the first 10 people got the meat. You know, that's kind of what they ended up with. Okay, here's level 5. I think I can move it over to here. So to keep it higher up. Level number 5. So we've gone to level 4. Level 3, there it is. I didn't lose. Right? They keep going more and more. God says if you don't turn around then, it even reminds me in the tribulation period where people would rather have rocks fall on them than repent because of the hardness of their hearts. Verses 27 to 33, let me read it through quickly and then I'll go cover what's there. And this is horrible. This is level 5 and this actually happened to Israel. Okay? So pay attention. This is horrible. You got to catch this. And after all this, if you do not obey me but walk contrary to me, then I also will walk contrary to you in fury. I will actively oppose you, angrily oppose you, God says. And I, even I, will chastise you 7 times for your sins. Now notice this. Verse 29. Everyone look at verse 29. You shall eat the flesh of your sons. And you shall eat the flesh of your daughters. That really happened to them. Do you understand that God is willing to let you suffer the circumstances of rebellion? Verse 30, and by the way, that even led them to eating their own children. And that really, really happened. I will destroy your high places, cut down your incense altars, and cast your carcasses on the lifeless forms of your idols. And my soul shall abhor you. I will lay your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries to desolation. I will not smell the fragrance of your sweet aromas. I will bring the land to desolation. Your enemies who dwell in it shall be astonished at it. I will scatter you among the nations and draw out a sword after you. And your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. So let's work through some of these. We already said God will be contrary to them in anger. He'll chastise them 7 times. And notice this, and I call it this horrendous starvation. And by the way, places have had horrendous starvation all over the world in the past. But it happened to Israel. If you recall, was it King Hezekiah? They came to him, a lady came to him and said, you need to judge this because I made a deal with this lady. She said if we ate my child first, then we could eat her child. And now she won't feed us her child. They were eating their own excrement. They were eating all of this stuff. They were that starved. And God let that happen to them because of their rebellion. It was not an accident. It was a result of their disobedience. Horrible. Letter D, I said, destruction of your altars and sacrifice of your bodies. It was like all this falsehood led up to it. And guess what? Their false gods didn't help them at all. Their enemies will just sacrifice them on the altars and destroy their altars. Their cities are laid waste. That's letter E, cities. Their land is laid desolate, and guess what? There'll be a scattering among the nations. They'll be chased out of their own country. Chased with violence. They'll be scattered all around, and they'll be chased even there. Number 9, let's see, that's number 7, right? Number 8 here is the result of the scattering is that, and then I know this sounds funny, but listen. God expects you to do what he tells you to do. And he has reasons for it. You don't necessarily have to understand it. But if you don't, there's horrible consequences. And again, the key word for today is consequences. Consequences for obedience, consequences for disobedience. Okay? But God said in chapter 25, which we didn't look at, that every 6 years, after 6 years of growing, you have to leave the land rest for how long? 1 year. You have to do that every 6 years, then the 7th year is a rest. 6 years, 7th year is a rest. 6 years, 7 years is a rest. Okay? And then after 7 sevens, then there's actually 2 years of rest, the year of Jubilee. And God said, guess what? He would provide them all the food they need for all of that time. The issue is not, what will we do? The issue is, do you trust God or not? Okay? Because God says all of this will happen to the good or to the bad if you obey me or disobey me. Okay? The effect, or the result of scattering, is the Sabbath rest for the land. I know that sounds funny. It sounds trite. But again, God required it of them. And I think the whole rest thing, can you imagine having a year where you could not work your field in an agricultural economy so that the majority of what you did was other things other than work? It allowed you to focus on God and focus on people. What do we focus on now? Work. We work 7 days a week. We work every day, every year in some way, shape, or form. And we do not rest. We do not reflect. God required them through a whole year of Sabbath, which meant there was no harvest, there was no planting, nothing. Okay? The land would have a rest. By the way, we talked about end times, there's 490 years that God said that Sabbaths didn't have rest. Okay? There's 1 week, 7 years that still remain unrequited, and that's the tribulation period. And it connects directly with the land, believe it or not. God says something, he expects it to happen. I'm glad I don't live in the Old Testament era, but it's very easy. Why would you plant instead of not plant? Why would you not take the 7th year off and not plant your crops? One is a lack of trust for God, right? And he said he would provide always that 7th year so that you'd have an abundance the 6th year and actually you'd have plenty left over. What's the other reason? You forget God and also probably greed. Any of those, well, if I plant, then I'll have more. And we forget that, you know what? Our life sustenance isn't based upon our workload. Now, I believe God wants us to work hard, all of that, 6 days a week kind of idea. But ultimately, we rely upon God. Give us this day our daily what? Right? Right? So it's a life governed by God, not a life governed by our wallet or whatever, right? We live within that scope rather than outside of it. Here's another one here. The effect of on the people. The effect on the people is faintness and death. So the land will get its rest, but the people will faint and die. Faintness as in weakness. Let me read it here. And those of you who are left, that aren't scattered, if you will, I will send a faintness to their hearts in the lands of their enemies. The sound of a shaken leaf shall cause them to flee. They shall flee as though fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when no one pursues. They shall stumble over one another, as it were before a sword, when no one pursues, and you shall have no power to stand before your enemies. You shall perish among the nations, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. And those of you who are left shall waste away in their iniquity, and in your enemies' lands, also their fathers' iniquities, which are with them, they shall waste away. Here's five quick points here. Number one is faintness of heart. It's hard to keep going. It's hard to keep trying. They're weak. They're scared. All of that. It says fearful chaos. They'll stumble over one another. You know, they're just like a bunch of scared chickens. When I think of my chickens, literal chickens. You know, they just run away. You know, ah! They're helpless before their enemies. They can do nothing. Your enemies shall eat you up. Those of you who are left shall waste away in their iniquity in enemy lands. So there's death in foreign lands. And then wasting away is the idea of miserable existence. You don't waste away if things are going well. Miserable existence. Now I have a little bit of good news. Number 10 here. What happens if they turn back to God? God puts that in there, but listen. It does not reverse their consequences. All of those years of loss and trouble and people who died or disease and all that doesn't get refunded. Okay? Look at verse 40 and 41. But if they confess, and there's four things here, and that's letter A, by the way. If they confess. Confess four things here. Their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers. I count that as one. Because they have to acknowledge even the sins of their parents in the sense of their ancestors, because they have to acknowledge that they were on the wrong path to start with, right? With their unfaithfulness into which they were unfaithful to me. So they had to acknowledge their unfaithfulness. They also that they have walked contrary to me, and that God has walked contrary to them. Remember, if we go against God, God becomes our enemy in a practical sense. And they have to acknowledge that, yes, God has become my enemy. And then it says, if their uncircumcised hearts are humbled, so saying yes to God rather than constantly saying no to God, and accept their guilt. I am guilty, right? Then, now this is interesting because it really was a letdown for me. Because I was looking for the, and they lived happily ever after. It doesn't say that. Let me read it here. Then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and my covenant with Isaac, and my covenant with Abraham. I will remember. I will remember the land. The land also shall be left empty by them. No immediate fixes. And will enjoy its Sabbaths while it lies desolate without them. They will accept their guilt because they despised my judgments and because their soul abhorred my statutes. There's no amazing rescue at this point. And again, What's the key word for this lesson? Consequences. If we rebel against God, now again, I'm not saying all of this will happen to us if we rebel against God, but let me tell you, if we go against God, God goes against us in a very real way. Okay, probably all of us have experienced that in one way, shape, or form. But we do not want to be on the wrong side of God. Okay? God will discipline us. God will punish us. God will work in our hearts to change us. And sometimes he'll cut us loose, not kick us out of the family, but he will just let us go down the path of destruction. Okay? If we don't turn. But notice here that consequences do not get erased. Even a confession, maybe the guilt does, but not the consequences of it. You're still there in a foreign land, and not everyone that went to Babylon or Assyria got to return. Not everyone got their land back. Not everyone got the... In fact, it was a hard row to hoe when Nehemiah returned. Remember that? When he went back, it was very hard because they were being attacked. It was years and years and years of fighting and wrestling and all that to get everything back to the way it should. There was no instant fix once they turned back to God. Verse 44, yet for all that, when they are in the land of their enemies, now this is to me the good part, I will not cast them away, nor shall I abhor them to utterly destroy them and break my covenant with them. For I am the Lord their God. But for their sake I will remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the nations, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. So I put two things here. God will remember the patriarchal covenant. There's the then. I call it a patriarchal covenant. Is it covenant or patriarchal that I put down here? Covenant, okay. Okay. And then here, I call it the promise or the hope. God will not break the covenant. Now, this goes back to God promising Abraham unconditionally the promises that he made of land, seed, and blessing, that he would ultimately restore Israel. He would ultimately have a ruler on the earth through Abraham. All the nations of the earth will be blessed. That's what we talked about at the end times when Jesus comes to the earth and the remnant of Israel will be saved, the Bible says. So God will keep his promises there. We are not Israel. But listen, God will keep his, the promises he's made to us, he will keep to us. And I'm telling you now, that's good and bad. If you walk with God, you will enjoy what comes with obedience. If you rebel against God, you will experience the consequences. There's consequences to obedience. There's consequences to disobedience. And I encourage you to remember that always, that there's always the reaping of what you sow, right? Always. That was the whole principle of the path thing, was the you get what you, the path you walk down, not necessarily what you want, but what you sowed. But listen, as we talked about in the principle of the path on Wednesday nights, the right response wherever you're at is to head toward God from where you are. Okay? You might not be able to... Lynn, can you go see Nelson, please? So the right thing is to head toward God where you are. Confess your sins if you have the sin deal, and then just walk humbly with your God and let him work in your life where you're at from this day forward, right? The consequence there. God does what he does to help turn us. That's what it looks like. Right? He does what he does. He doesn't do that to ruin you. He does it to rescue you. All of the things, the bad things that he let them happen were to help them turn back to him. Right? You don't want God against you. You want God for you, right? Questions or comments? You haven't drank my coffee, have you?
It's a, you say we're experiencing some of this now?
I think because we have God is the same God for all the world, I think we do experience some of this. It isn't necessarily based upon the promises of God, but I think because of the character of God, He destroyed nations that went against Him, even though they weren't Christian nations or God-fearing nations, because of what they did. He meted out things to them, Israel's enemies and so on. And I honestly believe God judges us as a nation too, because of the wickedness and things we've done. You don't kill 60 million babies in the womb and get away with it. You don't say God doesn't matter with regard to relation or morality, marriage or morality, and get away with it. That would be totally anti-God. Okay, so. Other questions or comments? All right, next week we'll do a review. We're going to go from Genesis to Leviticus. That'll be fun. So, anyway, Leviticus has been an eye-opener with the sacrifices and then the feasts. Primarily those two things have been huge. But also, God wasn't messing around. This is all happening. By the way, look at that last verse. These are the statutes and judgments and the laws which the Lord made between Himself and the children of Israel on Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses. So this seems like Exodus and Leviticus were at the Mount Sinai in a period of a year and a half or so. Okay, so they're just at the foot of Mount Sinai when all this information was being handed out to them. So new information for them. So. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your word. Lord, we know that we have a sinful nature, each one of us. We know that we have a sinful bent, but Lord, we also know that if we've believed in You, we have the Holy Spirit living within us, and that we can walk rightly with You because of Your enablement. And help us to do that, and help us to experience the consequences of obedience rather than of disobedience. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.